Welcome to our service for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Today we reflect on one of the most seminal verses in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. We begin with the hymn, Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like you his praise should sing? So our time of confession. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, beginning at the first verse. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people. Give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. And I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will be dying like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Here ends the reading.
As the deer.
Testament reading is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The most obvious question for a new faith community is, how is it going to worship? Paul is writing to the Christian church in Rome. For the early Christian congregations of the Roman Empire, the most obvious model of worship for them to follow, and the one which in essence they did follow, was provided by the local synagogue. All across the Roman Empire and beyond, in any city where a Jewish community was numerous and prosperous enough, they sometimes hired, but ideally, eventually, they would build a synagogue, a place where they could meet for worship on the Sabbath. The early Christians seem to have met at first in the homes of the richer members of the congregation. But when they too became more numerous, they too would at first hire and then build places of worship, what we would now call churches. And just as in the synagogue, there would be readings from the Jewish scriptures and expositions of them, as well as psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But there would also be preaching and teaching about the new way, about Jesus the Messiah. There would be the readings, for example, from the epistles which the apostles had sent to encourage the churches and help them to grow in their new faith. But what were they to do about animal sacrifices? The synagogues did not hold sacrifices. Jewish people believed that the only acceptable place to make sacrifices to the God of Israel was in his temple in Jerusalem. If they were living abroad, they would look forward to travelling to the holy city when they could, perhaps for one of the great festivals like Passover or Pentecost, and they would participate in the sacrificial ceremonies which were part of the worship there. The new Christians, even if some of them still thought of themselves as faithful Jews, were excluded from those ceremonies now. And meanwhile, those Christians who had been Gentiles before their conversion would have been accustomed, especially in large cities like Rome and Athens, to sacrificial ceremonies in the many and various temples of the pagan gods and goddesses. But they too were excluded now from the sacrificial worship they had known. There was no chance that the Christian church would give up the idea of sacrifice altogether. Jesus himself and all the apostles who preached about him believed that the sacrifices of the Jewish temple were ordained by God. And even more importantly, the apostles' understanding of the death of Jesus himself was sacrificial. He was the new Lamb of God, the greatest of all the sacrifices. They still wanted to include the idea of sacrifice in their worship. What should they do? Paul's answer to that question is this seminal verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. We note first that all our worship is a response to the mercy of God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, writes the Apostle. The great sacrifice of Christ, his life and death, is the ultimate act of mercy. It swallows up any need for further sacrifices. The Christians are excluded by the authorities from the temple at Jerusalem, but they believe that they no longer need the mercy of God effected by the sacrifice of animals. No other sacrifice is needed than the sacrifice of Christ. Indeed, no other sacrifice could come close. All Christian worship is a response to the mercy of God which we have received once for all in the sacrifice of Christ. God in Christ has sacrificed his very self. And because God has sacrificed himself, then secondly, Paul suggests that our response is the sacrifice of ourselves. In animal sacrifice, the idea was that the worshipper expressed their devotion by giving to God something really costly, the best sheep of the flock, costly frankincense, expensive wine, or the best pigeons if that was all you could afford. None of that was required now. The sacrifice of Jesus had taken the need for it away. The sacrifice that the new Christians were required to make was the thank offering of themselves, to present, as Paul puts it, their bodies. The Greek is translated bodies, but it is sometimes expanded into souls and bodies to make the obvious point that it is not just your physical body which you are to offer to the Lord, it is the whole of yourself. Something very important about worship follows from this. It means that worship is no longer to be thought of only as a thing you do in a special building at a special time. The key word here is living. The animal sacrifices of any temple, be it Jewish or pagan, involved ultimately the death of the animal. It would usually be slaughtered in a ritual way. Some part of it might be reserved and cooked for a special feast, or it might be a whole burnt offering to the deity. Either way, the animal was certain to die. The sacrifice that we are to make of ourselves is different. We are to sacrifice dead animals no longer. I beseech you, says Paul, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the point is that that is simply something you cannot do sitting in a church building for an hour a week. It can only be done by the whole way you live your life, the conscientious effort you put into your work, the loving way you conduct your familial and other relationships, the things you spend your money on, the ways you spend your time. All this is part of the living sacrifice that we are to make to the Lord as a thank offering for his sacrifice and his mercy to us. Nothing is to be withheld from our response to God's mercy. It's important to realise, though, but although we speak of the Christian life as a sacrifice in this way, that emphatically does not mean that it is a narrowing, repressive experience. Jesus said, "I am come that they may have life more abundantly," or in other translations, "have life in all its fullness." This grateful sacrifice is the way to discovering that joy in living. Whoever loses his life in this way, says Jesus, will find it. There is an aspect of life that we are simply missing if we do not have a living relationship with the God who made us through the sacrificial mercy of his Son. And it is that living relationship which the Apostle says is holy and acceptable to God. Pause. For a moment, it's an extraordinary idea. some of the things that go to make up holiness will be very humdrum and ordinary. It's the truth expressed by the great Welsh hymnodist George Herbert. A servant with this clause makes drudgery divine. Who sweeps a room as for thy laws, makes that and the action fine. You might not think that just sweeping a room could be a holy thing, but what makes it potentially holy, Paul makes clear finally, is the spirit with which it is done. This offering of oneself, he says, in whatever form it takes, is your spiritual worship. Spiritual's never an easy word. What does he mean by it? Probably it's a word here addressed more to the Gentile converts than the Jewish ones, because the Jewish Christians knew full well already that worship was a spiritual matter. They had a long tradition of reverence for spiritual ideas enshrined in the treasury of their scriptures, which were read, interpreted, and celebrated in the worship of their synagogues. They already knew that their relationship with the Lord was supposed to be a living thing. But that was perhaps not quite so clear in pagan religion. There was an absence of the sense of the loving kindness of God, the faithfulness of the God who wanted a living relationship with a people and with individuals within his people. Now, through the sacrifice of Christ, even the Gentiles had full access to that relationship, as Paul puts it, to this grace in which we stand. It meant for them, and it means for you and me, a new faith which embraces the whole of our being, and a worship which only has meaning if it is expressed through heart and soul and spirit. The trouble with the sacrifice of any temple in this respect is the same as the trouble we sometimes have with our own worship. It has the potential to become merely a matter of ceremony, where we turn up and say the same things Sunday by Sunday, losing the full sense of their meaning. Sometimes I think that people don't realise quite what a rut they've got into until they go to church on holiday. Or for me, it can be one of those rare occasions, as last week with our brother Carl from the Beach Mission team, when I hear somebody else speak instead of listening to my own voice droning on. It's so refreshing. A different service, a different preacher, different voices, perhaps different hymns. Why don't we feel like this about worship in our own church? It may be that without realising it, we've let our worship get into a bit of a rut. People try lots of different ways to avoid that. Perhaps the most typical modern way is to worship with songs that try to be more personal, expressing personal feeling and devotion. It works for some people, I think, but not always. In truth, the only way that my worship can truly be a living thing is if it is truly integrated into the whole of my living, into the whole of my life. Then Sunday worship can indeed become the highlight of the week, the culmination of the life I was trying to live this week, and a well of the Spirit from which I can redraw the resources to live it better next week. The only temple now is that temple of the Spirit, made of the living stones of the people of God. As the old hymn puts it, "See that on that sure foundation ye a living temple raise, walls that may resound salvation, stones that may re-echo praise." Amen.
Give thanks with a because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the
time for our prayers. Let us pray. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad der hynoetan yn yfoedd, sancteiddia de enw, deled der nas gwneled der wychlis, megis yn y nef ddechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein barod ein yddiol, y maddau yn ei endyledion fel y maddewn yn ei endyledwyr, ac nac ar yna ni brofedigaeth eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg. Canys eiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gofyniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Our intercessions today are led by Helen.
O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation, and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Holy God, we pray for your church and ask that it might always provide a solid foundation upon which we can anchor our lives. We pray for those worshipping in the local chapels and that we can work together for the good of the community. We pray also for the leaders of our church, in particular Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Eileen, John, our area dean, for Matthew, Judith, and all who contribute to our worship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for our world leaders, for the royal family, the heads of state in Europe, the Commonwealth, and for the United Nations. We also pray for our national and community leaders and those in public office dealing with difficult situations. We pray that the devastating wildfires and record temperatures that we have seen this summer will be a wake-up call to world leaders that they need to act now to reverse climate change. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for our friends and families, and especially for the young people of the diocese who have received their A-level and GCSE results. Guide and strengthen those who may not have gained the grades that they were hoping for. Sometimes you have different plans for us, and we need courage to take that leap of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all we know who are housebound and in nursing homes, those in hospitals, in recovery and rehabilitation. Wrap your loving arms around them as we remember those known to us personally. We thank you also for our local hospitals, health centres and clinics, and for all those working in sheltered accommodation and care homes. We pray especially for several of our younger members who will soon be starting their careers in the NHS. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for all those departed this life and for those who are bereaved by their passing. Help us to be sympathetic, caring and loving with the bereaved, and always ready to help practically and to pray diligently in their time of greatest need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we thank you that your wisdom not only enlightens us, but transforms us and guides us as we go from this place of worship and into our daily walk through life with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came from heaven, but I danced on earth in Bethlehem. I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all. Wherever he may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the vision, and for James and John, they came with me, and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath, and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. Left me there on a cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I had gone. I am the dance, and I still.
Never. light illumine and guide you. Christ as a shield overshadow you. Christ above you, Christ below you, Christ beside you on your left and your right. This day be within and without you, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Be in the heart of each to whom you speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto you. This day be within and without you, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ is a light, Christ is a shield, Christ beside you, on your left and your right. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.